News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, it's time for this.
It's your chance to challenge the leaders live on air.
Your call
on News Talk Breakfast.
That's right. It is a special leaders edition of Your Call. 1894531106 is the number, and Labour Party leader Brendan Howlan is with us in studio. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, lads.
Plenty of opportunities to get questions in over the next 20 minutes, so Great. Continue to do so. 1894531106, or you can text 53106. You can watch this, of course, you're listening, I'm sure, on News Talk, but you can watch this on all our social channels. And we'll get straight into it, Brendan, because we have a question from Rob. He says the question is on Southeast jobs, your region, my region as well, it should be said. The listener saying, Rob, job creation in the past 5 years is €35,000 less than any other region. Why has neither the Labour Party nor any other party picked this up in their policies as an opportunity to address, or are they happy the talent continues to drain from the region to support Dublin's bubble? 70% of the state live outside the capital.
Absolutely. Every single job strategy that came before government when I was there, I demanded regional focus. And you're right, the South East has been left behind. And it's been left behind largely because of infrastructure gaps. And that's why we have, in the time I had any influence over it, huge investment in infrastructure. We have the completion of the M11 into Rosslare Europort. We haven't got all the way yet, but I hope that can be completed. The New Ross Bypass to give a motorway from all the way from Rosslare Europort to Cork, bringing natural gas, all the things we need in the southeast. But the most important thing is we need a university in the southeast, and that has not been achieved yet, but I'm determined it should be.
Well, Rob, I understand, is actually on the line. Rob, are those the types of projects and policies that you're talking about?
Oh, good morning, Brendan.
Morning.
Kieran and Shane. Yeah, yes, we need a university.
Yeah.
That's a basic. We need investment in the infrastructure, like North East Project, Abbey Quarter in Kilkenny.
Yeah.
You've got the Trinity Wharf in Wexford.
Yeah.
But essentially, the lack of delivery is opportunity to be reversed. Why are there no policies looking at moving back to regional cities the majority of people?
Okay,
we launched
in Dublin.
We launched that policy last Friday in Drogheda, where we set out the fact that in 2018, the last time we full figures, 3 out of every 5 jobs were created in Dublin, half of all graduate jobs. We need to grow our regional towns and cities. Places like all the towns and cities in the southeast, but also places like Drogheda and so on, because we can't keep sucking everybody, clogging up our roads, making the quality of life of families impossible. That's why we need to have the strategy that Labour launched last Friday, getting Ireland moving. It's on our website. It is a distinct investment strategy and job strategy for the regional towns.
All right. OK, Rob, I hope that answers your question. Thanks a million for getting in touch.
OK, we're staying in Waterford now because we're joined by Julie. Julie, you are through to Brendan Howlan. What's your question for him?
I just want to ask Mr. Howlan what his policy on animal welfare is. When you take into account the cruelty within the greyhound racing industry, you've got abandoned horses, you've got live animal exports and puppy farms, to name just a few. I'm just wondering, do himself and his party have any ambitions to deal with any of these issues?
Well, it's a very broad agenda, and you're right. It's a real agenda, and I hear it again and again on the doorsteps. Just pick up a few of the points you make. In terms of the treatment of dogs, there is a Dogs Breeding Act that was enacted, but it's not really been enforced. We need to outlaw puppy farming. I think most people are horrified. And you see, we've seen cases, I've seen it in Rosslare, of animals, dogs, been put in like commodities into the back of a van. That has to stop. But that means enforcing the law. There's no point in enacting laws that are not enforced. Interestingly, today, Birdwatch Ireland have just published a very interesting strategy on biodiversity. What they've called for, and I think it's a really good idea. We came up with the idea in the Labour Party of citizens' assembly. But a citizens' assembly on biodiversity to deal with how we keep the environment natural and we reverse some of the issues. Live exports is a real issue, and you've touched upon it, and it's not an easy issue. I think most people would demand, everybody would demand, that if we're going to continue any export of live animals, animal welfare They have to make sure there's absolute ventilation, absolute watering, absolute feed during during the export. But there is an issue in terms of family farming, holding on by the skin of their teeth. And we can't simply, at a stroke of a pen, end all these things. But we can, if we're going to do it in a very humane way.
OK. Julie, thanks indeed for that question.
Ben in Wicklow is on the line now. Ben, good morning. What's your question for Brendan?
Hi, Brendan. I'm
morning, Ben.
An hour and a half into a 60-kilometre commute from Wicklow to Dublin.
Yeah.
OK, it's a daily thing. My question falls out of that. I'm a public sector worker going into the city to work at a desk when I could do the job from home. What is your stance on remote access? Is it one that's progressive and is going to free up the transport network and reduce carbon footprints? Or are you insistent as Labour leader of old style where public sector workers must travel to their desk regardless?
Absolutely not. We are absolutely piloting the whole idea of using technology for remote work. Jed Nash has been working on this policy since the time he was in the department, and it really is the way to go forward. I use the same road, the M11. It's grand for most of it now until you reach the merge with the M50, and it is a nightmare then if you hit it at the wrong time. There is no reason for an awful lot of people to make that journey and other journeys like it across the country. They can work from home, and we have a strategy. Again, it's actually in the document we published last Friday to do that. And it shouldn't only be for public servants. Public servants certainly should be provided with that facility, and we do that first because it is within our remit. But it should be a facility available to all workers. You know, the old notion that you clock in, you need flexibility of time, you need flexibility. We don't all have to go in on the same motorway, on the same hour anymore. Technology allows us to work flexibly, work from home. And one of the ideas that is in the document, and I'd ask you to look at it, it's online on the Labour Party website, is we're going to have hubs in towns for companies that want to work remotely but don't have a base. And I think that's a good idea too.
And work it 4 days a week?
Yes, yes. I mean, it sounds, you know, fanciful, but where that has been tried, productivity has increased remarkably. You know, if you look at the rostering of the way we do things now, a lot of people use up the time. They're there clocking in, but they're not actually producing the product for their employer.
Presenteeism.
It's exactly it. Here and present, tick me in. And that's crazy in a modern world where, you know, the opportunity to spend quality time with your own family is so important. We have a very clear policy platform to achieve that. And it's not pie in the sky.
OK, good stuff. Thanks indeed for that question, Ben. Let's go to Marion in Cork. What do you want to say to Brendan, Marion?
Hi, Brendan. How are you? Good morning.
Morning, Marion.
I would like to know, would your government like to be a government that makes significant change on crime situation in the country? And the second question is on environment. I have two questions relating to that, or suggestions.
Okay.
Okay, what's your question?
First one, would your government like to be the government to make significant change in those two areas?
Okay, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of crime, I think, again, listening to direct testimony from Éona Riordan in Dublin Bay North, who has been talking about a joined up attitude to crime for a very long time. You know, we need the resources provided to the guards. And the things that emerged today about the ERU, the notion that their equipment is outdated, out of warranty, the notion that you can, that in a situation in Drogheda, where people are actually terrified, and I was there last Friday, as I say, that when you call an armed support, it's not available.
Yeah.
That's shocking. But we need a variety of other things. And I just want to say maybe very quickly three of them in terms of the crime issue. One, we legislated for local cab. And one of the things that drives people mad is people walking around, even on the street, youngsters sometimes now, with thousands of euros of stuff with no visible means of getting that. Just as we dealt with the big guys with massive money, we have to deal with the smaller people. And cab can do that, a local cab that hasn't really been done. We also, and we've been thinking about this for some time, and I'm going to publish the legislative proposals for this. We outlawed the grooming of children for crime as a specific crime. And we need to do the same for the grooming of children for drug mules or using pushing drugs. And with very stiff penalties. If you look at the model we used in terms of the sexual exploitation of children, it's 14 years in jail. Why not 14 years in jail for recruiting youngsters into this criminal activity? We saw how it ends. It ends despicably and awfully. We need to outlaw that. And finally, we need to have a community response. So we link up other community issues. You know, the old adage that came from the British Labour Party, tough on crime, but also tough on the causes of crime, because okay, we can't abandon communities.
Okay, Marion, very quickly, your second question.
Very quickly, my suggestion is bring in mandatory drug testing with a tax incentive for companies nationwide and included in employment law. And the second one is bring in, reintroduce the deep retrofit grant that you pulled because too many people were applying for it. There's houses all over Ireland inefficiently.
Okay.
And why aren't you doing that?
Great
and
stuff,
Mary. Where is that going?
We have that. Maybe deal with the retrofit.
Oh, the retrofit. Yeah. We have, I mean, if we're going to solve the climate change issue, we're going to have to retrofit all our houses. Now, I've been talking to the industry, and it's going to be an expensive project, but we have set out how we would retrofit initially 100,000 homes. It will start with the local authority homes, and that's why we have proposed that the entire carbon tax, and we've said we supported the carbon tax, should be ring-fenced to ensure that we have a just transition to a carbon-free society. And that means providing, in local authority-owned houses, a complete retrofit to the tenants there, and for others who own their own houses, a decent grant to allow it to happen. So if you're doing a street, whether you're privately owned or publicly owned, the whole street would be done, be grants for those who own their own house, okay, and the local authority would do it for those that are owned by the local authority.
Okay, thanks indeed for that, Marion.
Lots of other people calling in, but people are texting in as well, and I want to get to a couple of those texts, like Jane in Blackrock, who says, I'd like a left-wing government, as would a number of my friends, but because of the Labour Party's refusal to even consider power and sharing with the biggest left-wing party, Sinn Féin, I am denied this. What the hell is going on here? It makes me so angry. And no, I'm not a member of Sinn Féin, says Jane.
We've worked very closely with Sinn Féin over the last number of years on issues like housing, for example. We worked very closely. I know Jan O'Sullivan has had the support of Sinn Féin on many of our proposals, many of our legislative proposals. And I've great respect for a huge number of the policy platforms of Sinn Féin. I have a difficulty, and that's just a difficulty of trust. But I think that's one that we can overcome. The issue in terms of a left-wing government, it is a little bit arrogant of us to be contemplating ruling out or ruling people. That's why I haven't done that. On our support base, we're not going to be the core of a new government. And if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael rule out Sinn Féin, they're not going to be in government. And I want the next government to be left policy focused, at least, because we have a very simple mantra. We want to stop the waste of public money. We want to build homes and we want to fix health. Now, that's, you know, all our complicated agenda boils down to that one sentence.
Yeah.
Stop the waste of public money, build homes and fix health.
So it just, it sounds like what you're saying is, look, no Mullingar Accord or version of it with Sinn Féin or with the broad...
Or anybody else.
Alliance, but you're not ruling out if Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael went in, you'd go in with Sinn Féin?
Well, I mean, as I say, it would be an arrogance of us, I believe it, to start saying we're not going to talk to Fianna Fáil, we're not going to talk to anybody else. I've talked to everybody over time. There is an issue, and I've said it publicly, of trust in terms of, you know, is the democratically elected leadership of Sinn Féin in complete control? And I'm just looking at the Omwelor comment in relation to Northern Ireland and what happened in the Cash for Ash issue, where he said he had to take advices externally. Now, these are trust issues that we would have to address.
Okay.
All right. We have Niamh on the line. Niamh, what's your question for Brendan Allen?
My question is that there's lots of emphasis on the expense of living for families, particularly in terms of housing and crash costs. Pensioners are always looked after, but single-person households are on the increase in Dublin, and the cost of living is huge, and they face a lot of the same fixed costs as a family would. What does the Labour Party plan to do for them in terms of helping them with the cost of living?
Yeah, great question.
Single people.
Yeah, single people.
Single person households.
Well, obviously, the nature of households has changed substantially, and you're right. There are a great number of single occupancy households now, and one of the things we need to do is obviously provide affordable accommodation for people, and that's why our housing policy is to build 80,000 social and affordable houses over the next 5 years using public land, so that single individuals who now can't even contemplate the rent for an apartment for themselves, never mind get a mortgage or buy one, and they're forced to either to share with people, you know, not necessarily that they want to share accommodation with, or to live with families. So our housing policy would deal with part of that. And obviously the second part of it is, you know, the cost of living for an individual is what are you actually expending your money on? And having decent access to services is hugely important. So affordable transport, and we have a policy platform for that. Reforming the health service, fixing the health service. We started that process. We now have at least a model and a plan that everybody is signed up to in Sláintecare. We need to deliver that. Okay. And that would reduce the cost of living for people on single incomes.
Okay, plenty there. I hope that answered your question, Niamh.
Dara has got in touch. Dara in Dublin, who describes himself as a business owner. Dara, what's your question for Brendan?
Hi, Brendan. How are you doing?
Morning, Dara.
Thanks for your time. Business owner in the fruit market, Brendan. And just like to hear you talking about like one of your party policies being to kind of look after public sector pay. Am I not correct in saying that your last time in government, they set up a specific department for you to manage yourself, which was to address public sector pay? And I found it quite an insult that at the end of that process, you changed not one thing. I would have a serious issue with that. That's not my question.
But it's not true.
And
I'd happily answer it.
There was a whole department set up to address public sector pay and increments, and nothing was changed.
Well, I'll tell you what, we might let Brendan quickly deal with that, but what's your question, Dara, if you had another question?
My question to Brendan Howland is kind of linked to that. Like, do the Labour Party have an interest in broadening their base away from just public sector workers? And secondly, very quickly, like the constant increase of the minimum wage, although it's a great soundbite, does Brendan have any idea of the real negative effect that it has on small businesses? I'm running a company in the inner city, and I can see generational unemployment all around me. I could employ a couple of local guys living in council living situations.
And Dara, listen, thanks a million for getting in touch. So I suppose a response and an answer is what he's looking for.
Thanks, Dara. And thank you, because I think that's something that I need to address. We set up the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform in a time of crisis, and I think it's really missed now, to manage public money that we won't have waste. We had shocking waste since we don't have a real Minister for Public Expenditure anymore. We're sharing that with the Department of Finance. And we had the debacle of the waste in relation to the Children's Hospital. We're going to build the most expensive hospital on the planet. We had the debacle in terms of broadband, where we're spending twice as much for connections in the Republic than they do in Northern Ireland. That's why we needed a department to manage money and stop waste. You know, the public sector was part of that, but the reform agenda, which was dramatic across the entire public service during my time there, was real. And in terms of, you know, we didn't do anything about public sector pay. We had two negotiated agreements that transformed it. And we wouldn't have been able to get out of our difficulties, because we saved €1 billion in one of those per annum in public sector pay.
We're very tight in time, but just on the minimum wage very briefly.
I mean, I'm afraid there's no point in asking people to go to work if they don't have a living wage. You know, I remember an American telling me at one stage, America's after creating 1 million jobs. I know, I have 3 of them. You can't. There's no point in asking people to go to work if they don't have a decent standard of income. I know there's a pressure on people, but, you know, employing people below a subsistence rate, below a rate that they can survive on, is not the way. And if you look at the most successful economies, the ones that have full employment, the ones that have robust public services, they pay a decent wage, they're unionised, and conditions of work are good.
Okay, just before you go, Brendan, a quick question. It seems to be a sort of a consensus building that about a possible next government, Fianna Fáil, Greens, Labour, maybe even a couple of independents. Could you live with that? Is that something you'd be happy about?
I think it's very early days to be mixing
coalitionology
to be mixing and matching, and I think it'll be an interesting, you know, horse race. over the next couple of weeks, and it'll give endless hours of fun to the likes of yourselves when we're knocking on doors and trying to present.
You're doing the hard work, we're doing the easy stuff.
I'll be presenting Labour's message: stop the waste of public money, build homes, fix health. It's not rocket science. We have the policies and the determination to do that.
Okay, Brendan Hallin, Labour leader, thanks so much for coming into us.